Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. It's Monday evening, or it's any time of the day if you're tuning into the archive. And we are three astrologers. We call ourselves Access Astrology, and we get together and talk astrology and take calls and answer emails and see what we can tell you. And so I'm speaking with you from the island of Manhattan in New York City.
Manhattan.
My name is Mark Waltz. Manhattan. Mark Waltz. And over on the Upper East Side,
Ann Early at my bright red desk. Yay! And I am an astrologer in New York. Also out far, far away.
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins calling to you from St. Paul, Minnesota. And this week, I will be in New York City next Monday and Tuesday. So next week I'll be there. This
Good.
Week I'm out here in the Midwest.
It's like, yay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you will join us at the Open Center on Tuesday evening. We do a live talk.
Yes, I will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm very excited Great. About that. It's always good to see the New York crew. Different energy. And by then, we'll know the results of tomorrow's astrology, tomorrow's election.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And how have the two of you been? Since Mars has been in Sagittarius, I have been such a klutz, saying that it's really improved my mood, but I've sped up,
mm-hmm.
I've noticed, but I'm still in that distracted Scorpio mindset, so my mind is one place, but the rest of me is moving faster.
Right.
Which has led to stubbed toes and sliced fingers and other such things.
Also,
how have the two of you been doing?
I've been feeling very overwhelmed. Mine seems to be because it's right in my little, I have a lot of stuff at that level, that degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been kind of like, oh, leave me alone. And then I've had Mars trying to all my other stuff. So it's been like, okay, I'm like feeling a little swamped here. So it's a combination between swamped and overwhelmed. So it's good. All good, but it's a little tiring. I'm ready for another set of energies. And this week we get them.
I feel really comfortable with Mars and Sagittarius.
You feeling better? Yeah.
Yeah, I feel comfortable with that. I like Mars in fire signs.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But
once
Aries
it gets past that 5 degrees and it's in square my Mars, I'll be fine.
Right.
Okay.
And when does that happen, Heather?
Oh, fairly soon. Hold on, I'll get that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mars is at 4 degrees heading soon, so this weekend it'll be 6 and 7 degrees. And it'll be trining my moon instead, which will be just fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice.
After this weekend's new moon in Scorpio.
Yeah, a big new moon. On the degree of Venus in station, no less. So
yes.
That makes it even juicier because she's stationed there a while back, and now Mars is coming back to say, or the new moon is saying, oh, new, let's go look at that things you said you wanted when Venus stopped on here. Do you really want them?
Mm-hmm.
There's this promise of, what do you really, really want? What's your vision? So.
Mm-hmm. And Venus, and also that retrograde cycle with the new moon sitting right on it.
Mm-hmm.
This week is, you know, I think it continues the theme of letting go this whole week where, even though Mars in Sagittarius is asking us to move forward and get going and move on with our next stage of our plans, the energy level may still be quite distracted with old work, with old emotional process.
Mm-hmm.
This coming weekend, I've got a memorial service to go to right on an old mentor of mine, and I know that we'll all be back in the middle of the memories. And they didn't plan it astrologically, but they couldn't have planned it better if they tried.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be able to tap into the old feelings and let it go and be, you know, close a chapter and then move on afterwards, which is how I see the astrological cycle coming up. Because Sunday, the moon goes into Sagittarius, and then Monday, Mercury heads into Sagittarius. And I think our minds and get more active.
Our what gets more active?
Our mental, because Mercury in Scorpio is very deep and it's very strong, but it's not very fast. It tends to go inside instead of get a lot done on the outside.
And once that
so I think there's going to be some interesting experiences of truth coming to the surface next week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But first, how is everybody feeling about tomorrow, Election Day?
Mark?
I haven't looked at the astrology of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have my political feelings.
Yeah.
Which are go vote.
Go vote.
You know?
Yes.
Go
that's,
vote.
That's
go
definitely
vote
my...
or don't complain. I don't want to hear
right.
it if you didn't vote.
I don't want to hear
exactly.
you complaining if you didn't vote, right? Yeah.
That's it.
And tomorrow morning, the moon sextiles Mercury fairly early around 8 o'clock. I have a feeling, and then it opposes Jupiter. I have a feeling that it's going to be at around 2, a fairly active early voting process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then there's some inconjuncts, and it doesn't feel particularly decisive in the afternoon. So it may take us a while until we begin to see clear elections. But the moon opposes Uranus in central time at 7:36. And my feeling is there's a good chance that there will be some unexpected changes, some votes that don't go the way they've been predicted. Go in the direction. There will be some unexpected changes right at the, towards the end of the day tomorrow night.
Right. Are you on a cell phone, Heather? Because you kind of periodically go boing, boing, and your voice disappears.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I'm on this because this seems to work better than the other phone.
Okay.
But
every now and then, you're like, I don't know, if you're hearing
it,
Mark, where she says something, and then sometimes she just kind of boing, boing, the voice goes. Yeah.
Hmm.
Not bad, but it, you know, it's like, you know, when I said before, what'd you say? Because it went boing, boing. It's done it a couple
yes,
times, but that's okay. Well, when we can't hear you, we'll
yes.
say, we didn't hear that last little bing, you went boing, boing. We love the technological beauties of the world, such as they are, that allow us to do a show from three different locations at the same time. On occasion, we'll have a little boing, boing, where we're raptured off into the Ethernet or something. I'm not quite sure what it is, where we go in that moment, but we do go somewhere. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because of the nodal stuff and because of the stuff in Virgo, you know, the energy of, well, what is it we're trying to fix? What are we actually doing here? And that irritated feeling that it has seemed to be pretty prominent in the collective. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm planning on voting. We have our new voting machines here in New York, complete with the scanners. I have to say I liked the old little guy where you went in the plastic curtain, but... no more plastic curtain for us. We finally buckled down and arrived with the new guys. So we'll see.
I think what happened is they could no longer find those actual plastic curtains anymore.
Bed Bath & Beyond. Bed Bath & Beyond has everything. So, yeah. No, and I think the moon in Scorpio at the end of the week. Plus, we have Venus going into Libra, you know, so she's got a little quick journey. Now, after the new moon in Scorpio, so she's very passionate at the new moon because she's still in Scorpio, but then she goes into Libra for 22 days where she gets to kind of sashay and be a little dry out a little from her journey in the swamp and perhaps, you know, get a little breath of fresh air as she happily travels through one of her favorite signs. So hopefully, you know, I think the whole point of it is out we go. But I think until we fix the money in the system, because apparently it's very awash in the money with the Citizens Union decision. The corporations can donate as much as they want without any consequences and nobody keeping track of what they gave. So, so what are you going to do?
Which is why some ads, there's half-hour ads playing across the country tonight. But I think that most people have so turned off that those ads are just preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah,
either you agree with them, in which case you might watch it, but you don't need to watch it and it's a waste of money, or you don't agree with them and you wouldn't turn it on for love or money.
Right.
I saw a very interesting list of what could be done if this money was turned into feeding the poor or
buying health insurance for everybody in America.
Buying health insurance or, yes, or, you know, job stimulus, if the money that was spent on this election had been spent on actually serving the people. It was rather shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you see it? I didn't see that.
Yeah,
it was on NPR.
Cool. We'll go check it out. I love those kinds of things when they're like, imagine what it could have bought, you know? And you're like,
mm-hmm,
really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because the I think nobody's really aware of it. And this is a mid-season election. We're not even talking big stakes here in the sense of the presidential election or, I mean, it's not unstake-like, you know, all the Congress is up for re-election, but it is still, you know, in a third of the Senate. But it is mid-season, so normally they don't get the big bucks out for that. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. So let me get about our caller number, 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And we also have this week Neptune and Chiron stationing to go retrograde, or to go direct. They've been retrograde since May, and now they're going to shift and go in a new direction. And this is also, they've been kind of on pause or on standby. We'll actually find out how mad people really are about the health care bill, because it was part of, under their journey, that the health care bill was passed. And I actually think that maybe there's a little bit less anger than people talk about, but, you know, whatever. I know when I've been hearing about the premiums and stuff going up since the health care bill was passed, I'm like, it should have come in faster and stronger and harder. But, you know, then again, I'm a screaming liberal, and I do recognize that. And if we understand where we're headed as a country and what our vision, our collective vision is, that's part of what this whole time is for, too. What's your vision of what you want your country to be like or to do for you or not do for you if you're against it doing things? But it also is, what have we agreed to as a collective, as part of the community spirit? And I think with Mars at the last degrees of Scorpio, Venus at the last degrees of Scorpio before she goes into Libra, it's also about what is our commitment to ourselves, what is our promise to ourselves. Because Libra is the promise that is made before the marriage commitment is made, which is Scorpio. So we're reviewing our promise, we're reviewing our commitment. And I think if we think of it that way and we say, well, what did I actually commit to? What would I like to commit to? And I think that's part of this story, too. And the Chiron-Neptune stationing in the middle of the week, right between straddling the new moon, is big, because that kind of adds a whole energy to the heavens of, wow, wow. You know, it's kind of a wow energy, and it also wakes us up from the dream, you know, where we've kind of been backpedaling in the dream and saying, well, what was the dream? And it goes direct, and it says, okay, well, that dream's done, new dream. So, I don't know. Do you guys have thoughts on Chiron and Neptune stations? I tend to find them pretty evocative for kind of shaking stuff out of the trees.
Yes, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Shaking stuff out of the trees, I think also with Mercury entering Sagittarius after some interesting transits over the weekend, I think that there, which goes along with what you say, Mercury on the 6th, Mercury squares Neptune, squares Chiron, trines Uranus, and semi-squares Saturn, and conjuncts the moon in one day. So it's going to be a busy day on the 6th for Mercury, and as Mercury gets ready to change signs. And I think that a lot of, you know, it could be information around plots or around obsessions or thoughts. You really see what people have been thinking behind the scenes. And with Neptune, it's where their fantasy level took them into. Now, in some productive places, I see often creative people who have been working on a book or starting on a painting or taking something where a new creative piece, the music that's been trying to be written but hasn't yet, that the muse lets the information out of the box and they birth their creative project. But I also see that the an illusion that we might have also gets birthed, and we can see it clearly. With Mercury in Sagittarius, one of the things that I'd love to see next week is some nice libel suits that we handle the election bloodbath.
Mm-hmm.
And some people who have actually posted information that is inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
There's one state, they announced on national news tonight, one state has put out a robocall to all the voters saying that they needed to bring ID and proof of home ownership to the polls on Wednesday.
On Wednesday?
Now, one, it's not true. Right. One, it's not true, and two, it suggests to the person who gets the call that they don't have to vote until Wednesday.
Right.
That
should be illegal. That is misinformation, that is slander, that is not freedom of speech, that's intention to deceive.
Mm-hmm.
And that, they can find out who did that and slam it.
Mm-hmm.
There should be political consequences for people slandering political candidates and saying untruths about them on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to see that followed through and dealt with. And we may see some clear examples of what was said versus what happened, unfortunately, after the election, as Mercury heads into Sagittarius and Chiron and Neptune station. But let's look at it in our own lives. Is there some illusion or some place that we haven't been dealing or not coping, and it suddenly comes to demands that we be seen, demands that it comes to the surface under these aspects? And it could also be that something as sweet as a spiritual practice that you've been working on or an intuitive practice that you've been exercising and may have felt frustrated with the meditation, that it really begins to bear fruit next week as Neptune and Chiron station.
Hmm. And say, let's go forward. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing I think that comes out with Chiron stations is very much its maverick quality. Chiron, when it stations and stops in one spot, you really sort of get a feel for where it is. And
mm-hmm.
it is in a real maverick spot out there. It's not, it operates in its own way. And
mm-hmm.
when it stations, we get really much more of a feel for that. It's kind of, there's just something about the station, whether it's going retrograde or direct, either one. When it stops, it brings our attention to really where it is. And, of course, that's a place that's inside of all of us. And it's that spot that's maverick. Seems like it operates in a no-man's land, where there's not something else competing for that patch of space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's within us as well, if there's that part of us that operates on its own. So we'll feel that with the Chiron station.
Well, and they are pretty close in the sky, too. And they're also
mm-hmm.
square to Mars, starting to separate from the square to Mars. But it also is whatever the wound was that came up last week, we undergo kind of a change and a transformation, and we say, okay, let me transform this. What's the next place? Where am I going with this? And I think if we focus it that way, it really helps an enormous amount in terms of connecting us to other places and getting us more tuned in. So we do have a caller, so why don't I pick him up and see who it is. Hi, caller 760. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Do you have a question?
Well, I am having a birthday in a couple of days, and I would love to know what your thoughts are about that. I've been feeling so completely weepy lately, and I've had a bit of a reprieve, and now I'm just kind of wondering what's up. My numbers?
Mm-hmm.
11565.
Wait. Mm-hmm.
Seven.
You said 11/5/1965.
Yes.
Or 55.
65.
65. 6/5.
Okay. And
at
what time?
7:55 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
In Upland, California.
And do you still live there?
I live in Palm Springs area, Palm Desert. I've also been wanting to move, and I don't know why. Move up to, like, Carmel.
Okay.
Well, your moon at 0 degrees of Aries, and you have been, right now, all this Scorpio lineup happens every year in your 12th house, and it's a very deep internal time from about a week before your birthday until about 3 weeks after your birthday every year.
Is that why I have such a bad time with holidays?
Yeah, well, that particular holiday, yes.
Okay.
And I can see where there's a lot being, your chart's being rung like a bell right now. You have Venus and Mars conjunct in Sagittarius, which is lovely, charismatic, beautiful. But Jupiter and Uranus are squaring it right now and can make you feel like the clutch is in on your heart and you're restless and whatever you've been doing isn't what you want to keep doing and you're not sure what you want to do and you want to change your mind every day, but you don't like being so uncertain. A series of things. You're an intuitive person, but with that moon in Aries, the moon talks about where we live and what our home is. Uranus has already come up to square it once, or to conjunct it once. Pluto has been squared it off and on for the last couple of years. You look like you've been feeling homesick for something, for a home you've never known, homesick for the new level of your life. It's been getting worse for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I would definitely say that's true.
And so what can we help you with as far as a decision? What would you like from us?
Well, just, that is what it is. I guess I was just looking
There's
more for...
really lovely beginnings coming in your life. Do you see that? That you're loosening up from an old way of being, but your life isn't over. In some ways, it's just beginning. Your progressed moon crossed into your first house only in the last 2 or 3 weeks and started, it's beginning to what you're doing in the world may not have felt like anybody noticed, and you've been in a review session for a while. Suddenly, people are going to see what you do. They're going to recognize, and Mars just crossed over your ascendant. It's adding to that restlessness. But that if you can just have a little patience in here and put the restlessness towards changes, like what do you want to do next, you will be appreciated. Your efforts will be seen more clearly than they have for years.
Okay. What do you see about like moving locations? Is that something that
mm-hmm.
is
makes sense to me? Normally I would say don't move, change your life. And your case here, move after you've changed your life. So I think you've done what you can in this area. I don't think you need to. That moving would feel really good to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where is a good question? And What are your thinking, thoughts on her and moving?
Well, I think when Jupiter and Uranus come to the moon, I mean, the Sturna move came up in May, June, and they weren't really quite ready yet, or maybe didn't know where you wanted to go. But it woke it up, and now it's kind of been, you've been mulling it. And once we get to January or March, your chart's going to be pretty clear about, okay, now I'm ready to go and actually have a vision. And I think with Venus traveling through the, you know, she's been in your 12th house and your 11th house of what your hopes, right now she's in your 11th, but she was in your 12th, which is what are your hopes and dreams. And then when she goes forward in the middle of November, she's going to travel through your 12th. And when she gets to your ascendant in January, at the same time Jupiter gets to your moon, I think that will be the universe saying to you, okay, now that you're clear on what you want, let's go find it. And I think it'll be a little easier for you to figure out where you're going. Plus, you're going to have Jupiter Uranus from the fourth house squaring your Venus, which is the co-ruler of your direction in life and also tied somehow to your work. I mean, your work seems to be fairly portable right now, yes? Can you move for your work without a problem?
Yes.
Are you currently unemployed? Or you?
No, I work for myself. I'm a CPA.
You work for yourself, yeah. So you can go pretty much anywhere with us right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
wonderful, with that Moon in Aries.
Yeah, with the Moon in Aries. And once we get to January and Uranus and Jupiter get there, Uranus is coming to the Moon for the first time in 84 years. And so you're going to really have an impetus to change everything up come March when it gets on that. And it also squares your Jupiter, which for you is you, the ruler of your chart. So right now the restlessness that got triggered last spring is really kind of just bubbling. You know, the image I keep getting is like a little stew where, and your Mercury and Sag on the south node sometimes doesn't know what direction it wants to go in, so you kind of sit and wait. Or now actually is maybe at the time when you are waiting, because you're like, well, I don't really know where I'm going, so I'm going to wait until I get a better message. And I think once we get to spring and all that stuff gets triggered, you're going to be a lot clearer about where you want to go. Because it'll pop. You'll be like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
Well,
so I wouldn't worry about it. I would simply get clear and clear on what you're looking for, and that will calm it down a lot. You know, and your solar return says it's very much a personal year. It's about you really figuring out your focus. Mark, I interrupted. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you probably feel like you're trying to put together a jigsaw puzzle now, and you have all this data. It's like it's really a kind of a data management task that you have, and what you want to do is in fact sit down and take care of that, because the answer is in the details, and you know, even of where to go. And what's confusing is knowing in a way too much, and so just keep shifting it around, just like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. Try this piece here. No, it's not going to work. You get it half put together that way, and it still doesn't work. And but keep your activity going of managing the data. Just find out more information. Put it here, put it there. See what it adds up to. And then when, in fact, it is all in the right arrangement, you'll recognize it right away. But you won't get there without handling the little pieces. So, and it's a little exasperating, and because you'd like to be able to just step back and see it all without having to move the pieces into place. But it doesn't work that way. So your job is, you know, take each piece at a time and put it where it seems best now.
So if I could recap, it sounds like I'm just kind of in a state of mulling it over and getting clear, and then spring I'll kind of have clarity and be able to follow a direction. Is that kind of to sum it up?
It's starting now. I mean,
you'll know when it's clear. You'll know. The pattern will be very, very clear, just like when a jigsaw puzzle finally forms the piece and you say, oh, that was a boat over there. I kept thinking there would be an animal. No, it's a boat. But until the whole thing comes together, you don't know what that piece is.
Right. And there's
a block has recently been removed from you, just recently. So your efforts in the next few weeks will begin to feel like they're bearing more fruit than they have before. Try not to get too sidetracked and keep it focused on what do you want instead. that you're closing one chapter and opening a new one of your life. But if you focus now on how do you want to open that new chapter, you won't be so frustrated with the chapter that's closing. You'll be kind of sweet and cute around there if you think you're leaving. It's when you feel stuck that it's a problem. And my image from you in this area, it's not like anything is terribly wrong when people look at it and go, but why are you leaving? It's more like the image for me is a field that you have over-harvested. You know, it's running out of nutrients in the area because you've been harvesting the same crop in the area for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to a new field, you'll have more nutrients for yourself and a chance to build a life that feels more like in a sustainable ecology than this one, which is taking a fair amount of effort from your part and not bringing back some of the warmth and support you would like in the next phase.
That makes a lot of sense. Great. Well, I definitely appreciate the input and the insight. Thank
you're welcome.
You.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
I will.
Where you end up. Okay. Cool. Bye. Hi, 361. You're on the air. Can we help?
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's the question?
My question is, I'm wondering what you see as far as me finding financial security, more contentment in my life.
Okay.
Information.
Mm-hmm.
9/16/1950. Mhm. And my birth time is 12:05 a.m.
Where?
In Aransas Pass, Texas.
12:05 a.m. You said?
Yes.
Excuse me, Aransas Pass is in San Patricio County?
Yes.
Okay.
September 16th, 1950 at 12:05 a.m. in Texas. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, and your question, you are a Virgo with Saturn and the Mercury conjunct in Virgo, and a Moon-Mars conjunction in Scorpio with a Cancer rising, Uranus on the ascendant. What was your question on?
I was wondering about financial security and finding contentment.
Mm-hmm. You have been so over-responsible since you were about 2 days old. You are you take your responsibility seriously, and it looks like you have in some ways provided security for other people along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like several issues around contentment isn't always easy for you. You're always sort of improving yourself and improving your situation. And it's not always easy for you to stop and smell the roses. So there's two sections, one about finances and one about contentment. And finances will help you in your contentment, but it feels like really nurturing the attitude of gratitude, an attitude of appreciation for everything you have, of celebrating all your victories. Is really an important one for you to grow. I think from a family pattern, your tendency is to hear, if someone gives you any criticism, they could give you one whispered criticism and you would tend to hear it very large. And if they give you a massive compliment, you tend to hear it like a whisper.
Yeah.
But you can be hard on yourself. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
It does.
And to have that attitude of gratitude of yours, I mean, that sense of, hey, I'm pretty darn good. Look at all I have accomplished. And to that looking at yourself with that same view of, look how much you've done. Look how far you've come. look what stability you've created in your life. It's pretty wonderful.
Hmm.
And that we can talk about the finances, because that does look like an issue that you're working on, but that's not what's going to make you content. It feels like turning up the volume on what's positive and on what's positive about yourself and what's positive about your life can really shift your approach to contentment. But and you're better with finances. No one looks at my chart and says and asks me too much about their finances.
About their finances.
So what would you say you're seeing around her financial situation?
Well, I would say, you know, the ruler of her financial house is Scorpio in the fifth house. So I would say, what do you do for your, how do you make money? You're one of the people that can actually make money from your creativity. Plus you have the sun in the south node in Virgo. So there's an energy there of caretaking, you know, which Heather covered a little bit earlier, that, you know, when you kind of arrived, you arrived into a situation where you immediately started having to take care of people. But the other way the way that you can take care of people is the same way you can make money, meaning it's the same energy field, and the energy that you use in taking care of people or have used in the past, maybe you're not caretaking for people now, that energy is available to you for creating financial wholeness and abundance. So it's about giving it permission to take a new form. So I like.
What do you mean caretaking?
Well, because you're a Cancer rising and you've got a stellium and Virgo stuff in the fourth house, it kind of indicates that when you were a little kid, you were super responsible for your whole family in terms of, you know,
emotionally
responsible, maybe even physical tasks, you know, helping the family survive, helping your mother was a single parent perhaps, or there was a family situation where you were really active in keeping everybody clothed, dressed, fed, maybe even doing the laundry, you know, tasks past the age that a child, you know, like you were five and you were making sure your brother and sister were fed, you know, stuff like that where your sense of responsibility as a child was very large. Is that right? Or did it show up in another way?
Well, the part about my mother maybe being a single parent, she was, my dad was away a lot, so she had to operate as if she were a single parent.
Right, right. And then did you have extra responsibilities as a child relative to the family? Or because she was alone a lot, and so you were a fixer, take care of kind of child?
In some ways that's true, yes.
Okay. So that energy that was used for caretaking is also the ruler of your house of money and your house of self-worth and security. So when someone says to me financially, you know, I'm struggling a little, I look to see what the ruler of that house is. And I say, well, you know, actually, you know, the ruler of that house is in your fifth house. And it says that you've done a lot of caretaking in your life and that the energy that you use for caretaking is available to you to use to make money. It's just simply redirecting, understanding, like some people don't have the ability to do it, or their chart said, gee, I don't want to make any money in this lifetime. That wasn't the issue with your chart. Your chart said, I want to, but I understand that the way I nurture things, the way I create things is how I make money. And that's the source of my emotional security. And then the sun in Virgo in the south says, in the fourth house says, on the south node says, well, if I work hard, I should do okay. But it's really tied, the money-making piece is really tied more to your emotional contentment or your emotional nurturing piece. It goes, you know, the different parts of the chart rule different things. So the net of it is money is simply an energy system, same way anything is. And you have a good chart for that ability to caretake or take care of other people. Not necessarily something you maybe want to do, but you've done it. So that same energy that you have can be redirected, redeployed towards making you income and giving you financial security, because it is a very strong energy in your chart. It's the ruler of your ascendant and the ruler of your second house in your fifth house of creativity and creation and speculation. So this is a chart that can make money through its own creativity. You can make money through your children. You could be a mother that is a stage mother, you know, where the child makes the money for you. But you also can make money through your own creative works. And in the same, and then the next question is, well, how much? Can I feel stable and secure from it? The answer is yes. Let's focus on what you can do to help you. Now, did you go through deep poverty when you were a kid? Yeah. This is a chart that needs to retrain its brain in how to think about money. And so I would go get books like Breaking Free of the Money Game by Sheinfeld, where they talk about money as an energy system and understanding that our creative, our ability to give ourselves stuff is a reflection of how we feel about ourselves. The same way that our ability to care for how we allow other people to treat us is a reflection of how we feel about ourselves. So your chart has to give yourself permission to do it, which is really retraining it in thinking in a different way. And thinking about money or abundance or contentment as something that you can find if you go looking for it or listen to that quiet voice inside of you, it'll pipe up what your path is towards creating it. And you do have the Sun in the South Node, so there is a sense of losing things. So that's something you also have to look at and say, my chart is set up so that when I lose something, I get pushed forward to the next place. And that it drives what's called in my chart a finger of God, which I have, that says, okay, as something leaves me, it kind of acts almost as a propeller to the jet stream to move me forward. And if I understand that creative process, that can help a lot in terms of just kind of living in the moment and doing what I'm really feeling called to do. That will help a lot in moving me towards giving myself permission to be more creative. It's basically a long-winded answer for, yes, your chart can do it, but you got to change your mental frames. And right now, with the planets really pushing on us to say, what is your belief system about what's possible for you, for yourself, for each of us, we're being asked to define that new future. That part of your chart wants to say, okay, how do I get there? What do I do? And you did have it kind of, you know, trained out of you on some level. But I would say to you, I want you to look at the nurturing, because the nurturing place shows you how good you can do it if you are giving yourself permission to do it. You know, because you can nurture. So when I say to someone, well, you know you can do it, they go, oh, no, I can't. So I use the nurturing as an example. Like if you go to that place and you look at how well you've taken care of people in the course of your lifetime, starting with your family, that ability can be translated into financial comfort. You just have to make that translation. You have that natal skill. It's not blocked from you. So, make sense?
Yes.
Was there a specific question that you had about your finances that we can that Anne's did a wonderful overview there? Is there anything, a more specific question about that we can help you with?
I was, I've been able to make enough money, but I haven't ever found that job or that profession that where you go to work and you don't even feel like you're at work because you so love what you're doing.
Have you ever done your creative work for a living?
Not really.
Yeah, that's why.
What are you're an has a very strong investigative streak too. What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a therapist, a mental health therapist.
What population do you work with? I think of almost forensic or, almost police work around therapy, really investigating what's going on, what's happening behind the scenes.
that isn't what I do, but maybe that's what I should do. I'm not in the forensic kind of work, no.
What kind of population
well,
that you've been
working
with?
Well, I have worked in mental health hospitals, you know, where people are admitted for mental health issues. And I have worked with people whose children have been taken away from them by the state, and we work with the families to reunite, reunify the families.
That's what Anne said about being a caretaker. You've been really caretaking people all of your life, but this in some ways is a little too familiar to you. You've been there, done that, and been doing that in your family of helping people get back together and being the responsible one in the room when other people are having a hard time. And you're good at it, but it feels like it's not a sustainable ecology. All the energy is going out, and you're not feeling fed by it. When
That's
you
true.
Think of what really brings you joy, what really brings you joy? What gives you energy?
It would be doing something that helps other people be happy.
But I don't know if you know how to be happy yourself.
Yeah, that's true. That's true because
I you know, it seems like you haven't really. I'd love you to try to prioritize the idea of what makes you happy. Because I think you've been putting out other people's fires all your life and being so responsible that you haven't really explored what makes you happy. And until you do, it's hard to help other people find a blueprint to do that. Right now, you're very good at figuring out what the problem is. And that's why, you know, working around, you know, with the police or solving mysteries is, it would feel more interesting to you than, you know, helping dysfunctional people slowly get their life back together. Even though you're good at it and there is some great satisfaction in helping people get their kids back. It feels like if you could take a break from that for a while, you could come back to that work. There's a connection to that.
Giving yourself permission to go do the creative thing that's called. You know, whatever that art, you know, the art, the work, the painting, the dance. It's got something to do with movement and something to do with craft and creativity. So it's like finding that place and sitting in that every day and letting your insides talk to you and say to you, this is where we want to go. This is what we want to do. Even if you're just doing artwork with some of the kids that you're working with, you know, or, you know, that kind of thing where you're allowing yourself the create part of you that wasn't allowed to come out when you were a child. That if, I mean, it's not that your mother didn't want it, but she was just, you just had so much stuff to do. So giving that part of you a voice or a time at the table will help the creative where you say, gee, this is what I really love to do, because you've done the job because it's been a responsible job as opposed to a job that you necessarily loved.
Right.
And it's not that you can't find a job you love. You can actually, you're one of the people that can make money from the thing you love. So, but you have to find it and say, well, this is what I love. And once you find it, your chart actually can make money. You know, some people it's like, well, you've got a really good chart and you're supposed to be an artist on the side, but you're not going to necessarily make a living from it in that sense. But the nurturing energy that you put out in the world, you make a living from your nurturing energy right now, right? You maybe not be happy with that that living, but you're making a living from your money, from nurturing people.
Right.
So you can take that nurturing energy and redirect it towards creating something or transforming something or some kind of other way of using that Cancer Scorpio moon of yours so that it's creating maybe murder mysteries or Heather's comment of doing forensic work with the police where you're actually helping figure out crimes or something where you're... You're using the moon in Scorpio to be creative in a new way and giving it a new job so that it can bloom in a different way. And it's ready to bloom. I mean, you've got Saturn going through that house, gets in there, and actually in January time frame, kind of look for some kind of opportunity for you to partner with when it stations on your Neptune Juno and it says, hey, come this way. Because by opening up the universe and saying, I want something that gives me more happiness, the universe is going to offer it to you. So your job is to now say, okay, when it shows up, make sure you take it. And you say, well, let me figure out how I can do this in conjunction with my other work.
Mm-hmm.
And then that it opens up and you're able to really let that section of your life bloom. Does that make sense?
It does. It sounds good.
Well, good. Well, but see, that's the whole point, is you do make money from nurturing people. It's just not money. It's just not nurturing in the way you want to nurture, right? So it's creative energy, right? So
I don't think you have to worry about the making a job that makes more money. You've got financial security. What I'd like to see, but it's the contentment, and that's not so much is the job is that attitude shift that we've been talking about, and really looking to create a more balanced life where the input and the output match, that you're being fed by your life as much as you're putting out. And you have every chance
of
doing that.
Good.
Good.
Yay. Well, Mark, anything to add there, Mark?
Mark may have fallen off.
I didn't hear the bell ring. Usually hear the bell ring. All right. Well, no, Mark. He went to the bathroom. There he is. He's back. Mark, you back? Nope. Mark, we lost Mark. We always lose Mark. Not good. All right.
I'm back.
You're back. Okay. Do you have anything to add to the lady?
No, it's, you know, a lot of this, it comes to needing to feel empowered. And a lot of what Heather and Anne have both been talking about is basically a permission and allowing yourself to set the parameters yourself. And you have that within you. It's one of these things, though, where you can look at the same thing through two different facets of the crystal, and through one facet you seem to be limited by life and your choices seem narrower and you're just having to respond. And then if you turn the crystal a little bit and look through a different facet, it's a different view. It seems to open up, and what you want to do is really hold that crystal in your hand and keep turning it to the facet that shows you an opening and space around you. So always choose the option that gives you the space, and realize that you're able to do that because you're holding that crystal in your hand that you can look at the world through. So it's actually you that determines how the world looks. And as long as you keep doing that, you'll know the direction to go. And that's the way you're energies flow. It either looks like you're limited in having to, that the only way you're strong is that you're responding to things, and then you have fewer options. But in fact, it's the other way around, that you can set your own agenda, and it'll work.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yes.
All right, good. Well, call and let us know. But I say go for it. And watch for the invitation in January. So.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other callers? 347-215-8881. 317-215-8881. 604, you're sitting out there, but you don't have your hand raised. If you want me to call in, you press 1. If you're just listening quietly, 604-771. If you're just listening quietly, that's fine. And I won't call on you, because Sue taught me not to call on people unless they raise their hand. So, all right, so no callers thus far.
So I thought it was that, you know, we don't usually do celebrity charts, but I was looking at John Stewart's
March on America.
Wasn't that his astrological chart? And he is such a wonderful example of a Sagittarius to the core, isn't he?
Do you have a birth time for him?
Hold on, I'm getting it, pulling it up now. He is a Sun, Moon, Mercury in Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a time for him. But he was born on November 28th, 1962, in Trenton, and so we don't know that the specific houses. But we know his moon at noon is at 22 degrees of Sagittarius, so it would be smack dab in the center of it, and he is such a true type, new moon in Sagittarius, Mercury in Sag, Sun in Sag, with a Venus-Neptune conjunct in Scorpio, with that Scorpio-Sag combination, which we see in so many incisive comics over the year, that, you know, absolute irreverence with a slightly pointed edge. But he has, I always thought that the mythology around the story that the emperor has no clothes, you know, the little boy that says, but you're naked, to the king, was, and he could say it because he could say it without guile and agenda. And the king could hear him because he had no guile or agenda. Was the mythology that goes best with the Sagittarian quality for speaking truth. And it's interesting that when they do the big surveys over what commentator, what news person is most trusted in America, it used to be Walter Cronkite and now it's Jon Stewart, who's a comedian.
Right.
But people trust that level of honesty and irreverence to not, you know, push it in one direction or the other. Mars in Leo, which allows him to be so expressive and out there with it, and the Jupiter opposed Uranus Pluto conjunction in Virgo. So it's that the critical edge. So I think it's a wonderful combination in his chart, and I thought. And the efforts this weekend and some of the very funny responses, also the Sagittarian quality of being able to bring humor to an otherwise leaden situation, really opening it up. And I think it's an interesting counterpoint that Scorpio, which I often think of not exactly like a hot air balloon, but that kind of it's movement and light, and it's the antidote to Scorpio. And in its extreme, it's, you know, it moves too fast, it's superficial, we can go on what the details, the difficulties of it. But I think it's really interesting medicine for the scorpionic heaviness we're in at the moment.
Well, it helps when you can laugh about stuff, you know.
It sure does.
You know, humor is being the, you know when it's moved to a new level when you can laugh about it.
Right.
Especially when it was a sensitive point. Yeah, no, I thought it was great that they did that march for moderation and to instill fear, keep fear alive. Like, we don't really need to keep fear alive. We already have a lot of fear. You know, we don't need any more. Thanks, go away. So, I don't know. Election Day, remember to vote. The British lady just spoke. And she said we have 90 seconds, so... I guess we can wrap it up.
We are wrapping up. Thank you all for tuning in. And always send us an email at astronyc.com. That's astronyc.com. Or you can call in on the Blog Talk Radio on Monday nights. And anyway, let us know what's going on. Let us know your questions. And this is Mark Wolf signing off from New York.
And Anne Rutley from New York on the Upper East Side of my bright red desk.
And this is Heather Owen Robbins speaking to you from the banks of the Mississippi in St. Paul. And I'll be in New York and joining Ann and Mark at the Open Center next Tuesday night.
Okay.
Yeah, and so feel free to stop by and see us. We're there from 6:30 to 7:30 on Tuesday nights, 22 East 30 Street. Take care.
Take care.
Talk to you next week.
Then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.